Hi, everybody. This is Steve Savitsky, and we have a very interesting program today. We're going to have a two-part program, one with a very distinguished speaker from Israel, our own Avi Berman, and then Rabbi Yitzhak Adlerstein, who's in Los Angeles, both dealing with the same issue. All of you must know, because you've read about it in the papers, in the newspaper, it's gotten international recognition, story about what happened in a city called Beit Shemesh, and we're a group of Charedim who are on the fringe. Have been attacking a Dati Lumi school, and it was picked up in the local television station showing a Haredi man spitting on an 8-year-old girl, and it's gotten press all over the place. And it really is a much bigger story than Beit Shemesh. It's a story of all of Israel and all of society. So what we have today is we have Avi Berman, Rabbi Avi Berman, who's our director of our Israel Center and really has a finger on the pulse of what's going on in Israel. And Avi, it's great to have you on the program.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you. Well, Avi, this has been incredible news that has been on every YouTube. It's been all over the place. And so tell me, in Israel, what is it still going on in Israel? Are people still talking about it, writing about it? What's happening there?
Well, I think that today, for about an hour, there was no article on Ynet, which is one of the popular news channels here in Israel. I didn't see even one channel about the issue, which I think is the first time in probably about a month and a half. So I would say it's dying down a teeny bit, but definitely still in the atmosphere. I would say that any group gathering or any meeting, the topic is mentioned.
And is this really like a flashpoint as far as what's really going on between the tensions between, let's say, the secular and the Haredi community, and the Haredi community internally, as to what's happening?
So we have to be honest for a second, and the entire outburst of that we're currently seeing was actually started by a couple of the Dati Lumi boys, a couple of the modern Orthodox boys that were in Bad Echad in the officers' training camp, and walked out in a one woman got up to sing at the ceremony. Their commander then forced them to gave them an order to go back. They refused, and that ultimately brought somewhat of an uproar of should halacha go in before law, or should law go before halacha? And that really got the topic rolling. What we're seeing today is clearly very, very far from that. What we're seeing is a bunch of extremists that are trying to take the law into their own hands, taking personal chumras that they've accepted upon themselves and basically forcing them upon society, going way past halacha or any halacha that us or the Gedolim have ever considered to be real halacha.
But I think what everyone is really trying to figure out is what's really the reaction of the leaders of the Haredi world in Israel. I mean, everybody knows about things that have happened in America, statements that have been made, but what about the leadership in Israel? Where are they today?
The leadership of the Haredi world, I would say, there's no real leadership that is willing to deal with political issues. And this is being perceived as a political issue as far as battling the secular, battling the media, etc. This is really coming out to be somewhat of a political issue, less of a halachic issue. In other words, if it's a halachic issue, we would automatically see Rav Elyashiv, Rav Steinman, Rav Kanievsky coming out and dealing with this issue. This is perceived to be really not halachic and very political, and therefore it seems like they're sitting quietly. To the dissatisfaction of many, many of the followers who are, hoping and looking out for some type of cry from one of the Gedolim to come and say, listen, the Haredi population is against what the extremists are doing. But nevertheless, there's somewhat of a chillant that has really been put together here of many different things together. So while it's clear to everyone in the Haredi world, besides the extremists, that, and again, when I say extremists, we're really talking about a small, small population, but very, very violent and outspoken. So when we talk about the Haredi population, you're talking about a population that really is in favor of the Mahadran buses, separate seating, to a large degree. Maybe not on a personal level, but definitely as a klal, they are promoting the Mahajan buses as, you know, the women sitting in the back, the men sitting in the front. But as far as spitting at a young girl or chasing after a woman to, who's not dressed according to their modesty or separate sidewalks, that clearly is not the mainstream Haredi population.
So, but then I read that the Belzer Rebbe, I believe, spoke out about this. Is that true?
Belzer Rebbe, from what I understand, did speak out about it. I have not, you know, there's no YouTube video going around of what he said. There are vibes of, you know, this, you know, coming and saying this has to stop, and we have to talk about Achdus. We all have to be together. But the clear hadracha as to what the Haredi population should be doing and how they should conduct themselves, that is not happening.
So do you think there'll be more government intervention in this? Let's assume, let's take the Orot schools in Beit Shemesh, okay? I mean, in that situation, I mean, it hasn't stopped. I mean, these young girls and are still going to school every day. These fringe groups are still out there every day. So what where does it end?
I think it really ends when the population, the society, gives strong backing to the law. Is strong back into the police, and any person that that acts in an unacceptable way or breaking the law should automatically be put in jail. I don't think that the political world is going to see any demonstrations as far as the Haredi MKs coming and saying, oh, you know, well, because you're arresting these guys, we're pulling out of the government. I think just the opposite. I think that Shas, Anaguda, and Degel HaTorah are all very unhappy with the extremists and what they're doing and how they're behaving. They understand that it is bringing an entire attack on the Haredi world, and they would be happy to back such a thing. I think that the secular government currently, I'm talking about the Likud party mainly, they might have that, you know, somewhat of fear of coming and making it into a bigger issue than it is, or attacking on the Haredi world. The Prime Minister-to-be came out very clearly and said that there's a group of extremists and not the Haredi world at a large, but it's not reached the stage yet where they're willing to go full force ahead with the police or border police.
So the situation kind of still remains what it is. I mean, there have been no arrests made, correct?
Very few arrests. I mean, you take, for example, the media that goes in to try to get footage of what's happening there. They're automatically attacked. Windows are busted. Equipment is stolen. So there, yeah, very few arrests that are happening when that occurs. So to a large degree, there's really not many arrests. It's important to point out that even arresting these guys is really not intimidating to them, because many of them don't even have two dat zehut. They're not ID. They're definitely not going to the army. They're not, looking to pay taxes or, live normal lives as the Israeli society does here. They're really, their nickname is Sikrikim. Mm-hmm. They're living as, somewhat of partisans inside the state of Israel. The police, to a large degree, are afraid to go in small groups to deal with this population. And I think that what we need to see is really dealing with it, because if we don't deal with it, by touching the root right now, ripping out the root, then ultimately it's just going to come back in the next cycle. They're not coming down.
Right, because I was reading an article from a sociologist named Menachem Friedman, who is an expert on Haredi life, a professor emeritus at Bar Ilan, and he was basically saying that even though he would suspect the majority of the people oppose the policies, but they will not do anything about it. And, you'll not see, when you look at mass demonstrations, you're not going to see a large proportion of Haredi people involved, even though they may not support it. They're afraid. Is that true?
That is very true. And everyone was really disgusted by the demonstration that we had Motzei Shabbos with the Holocaust uniforms and the Jewish stars, the yellow stars on the children in the demonstration. But well, let's look at the positive side, if you can, in such a situation. There really were very few people at the demonstration. I mean, it was in Kikar Shabbos, which is at any given moment packed with hundreds of people, definitely on a Matzah Shabbos. And you really had about 500-600 people in total there. Nobody was busing in there. Nobody was coming and joining the demonstration. It really was the call it the Toldos Aaron, Toldos Aaron Yitzchak population, from what I understand, that were coming to this demonstration, and you know, in small amounts. If you want to take any demonstration that the Haredi world puts together, that you know, Rav Elyashiv or Pinevsky get up and say, "Listen, go to this demonstration," you're talking about hundreds of thousands of people that literally yeshiva shut down, everything shuts down in order to support. So this clearly was not a Haredi demonstration that went to support it. I think the Haredi population is making a major mistake. Take, for example, what happened this past Shabbos in Neve Yaakov, where the man that got on the bus, and I'm not quite sure exactly what happened there, but according to the most lenient opinion, he definitely called the female soldier a prutza, a derogatory name that clearly is not the way to talk to a Bat Yisrael, and definitely not the way for a Ben Torah to talk, whether you agree with her or you disagree with her. And what happened this past Shabbos is you had, they say, over 1,000 people having tefillos, having davenings outside his house, because he's in house arrest, to support what he did, which I don't think that most people on Shabbos really realized what they were doing. After Shabbos, I did speak to many people that were at that davening, and they said that, you know, thinking back at what they did, you know, they really shouldn't have supported such a thing, because the Ben Torah should not behave in that way. The message that they're giving over to their children, the message they're giving over to their families, is really, you know, maybe we should back this man who clearly behaved in a non-Torah way. I think that the feeling is just that the Haredim are just being attacked and attacked and attacked, and it's, you know, when you have one person who might take it to an extreme and take it to a place where it shouldn't be, suddenly he's being attacked by the secular world, and therefore, oh my gosh, the entire Haredi world has to come out and support him. And I think that, you know, using a little more cup and trying to explain to the world that, you know, this is what we stand for, this is what we believe in, and, you know, we're not trying to enforce anything on anybody. Maybe having private bus companies that will do the bus that'll be Mahadran. No, the things have to be worked out, because I'm going to move to the other side right now. I would say the secular population, to a certain degree, thinks that they're, I don't want to use the word losing the state, but they feel that there is being a very large overflow of religious / Haredi / extremist population that is now forcing religion on everyone. And I would tend to understand and look at the opinion of why they are forcing, you know, frum boys to stand in ceremonies where women are singing. I would come and say, listen, you know, when you look at the officers' training camp today, especially in the combat part, you have over 40% of the boys that are religious boys. And as a secular population, as a religious person who personally did the army, I'm extremely scared when I see those numbers. Am I proud that the modern Orthodox world is going in and is Zionistic and is, there to support the state of Israel? 100%. But when I look at the percentage of the modern Orthodox world in the Israeli society, we are very much not at those numbers. We're not at 40%. And therefore, for us to take all the burden on our shoulders is clearly not healthy and is definitely not leading us down a good path. The latest numbers came out from Akka, the head of the manpower in the army, that 41% of Israelis are not joining the Israeli army. Each one for their own excuse, whether it's medical or, you know, this degree or that degree, or just claiming crazy.
Well, that's why, look, that's why, Avi, this issue has become such a big issue, because it represents so much more than, you know, one group of Haredim and one school in Beit Shemesh. It represents all of society and how we deal with a society in which we allow religious freedom and tolerance. And this is going to be the issues. Avi, I want to thank you. I know we can go on and on, but I want to thank you for being on the program, giving us a real insight from Israel, you know, as to what's going on. And we'll follow the story and we'll talk to you in the future as this thing continues to develop. Thank you so much, and thank you for being on the program.
May we all hope for Achdus Yisrael.
Amen. Thank you so much. As I promised you, we have a two-part series, and we have here in America, United States, actually Los Angeles, the director of the Interfaith Affairs at the Simon Wiesenthal Center, a very good friend of the Orthodox Union, Rabbi Yitzhak Adlerstein. And Rabbi Adlerstein was on my program just a few weeks ago, and it was such a great hit that I decided that it would be a great idea to have Rabbi Adlerstein come back again, because I always value his opinions, and he always got a very, really, really great insight into what's going on. Rabbi Adlerstein, how are you, and how's everything, okay?
I'm doing fine. I'm not sure how far flattery is going to get you on this topic, though.
Okay, well, we're going to try. I always try, you know? So, once again, we have another crisis in Israel. No shortage of crises, okay? And this one, I'm not sure what it is. Is it a crisis of freedom of religion, expression? Is it a crisis of secular versus Haredi? Haredi versus Haredi? What? How do you see it?
I think there are multiple levels to it, but I think primarily it's a crisis for all Orthodox Jews in the face that we put on for the rest of the world. There obviously are some problems within our own house, even to the extent that people are asking, do we have one house, or do we have five houses, or six houses, or seven houses? Who's responsible for other people? What is our responsibility as Jews to protest when Jews are doing things not to our liking? How do we define the borderline between us and the other? I think it's a huge crisis. I don't think it's the crisis of the brewing crisis that the state of Israel has been with since its infancy and before its infancy of secular versus religious. It's a problem, but there's some bad signs on that front. I think there are more good signs than bad signs. There's still far, far, far more people in the state of Israel who are Masorti, not in the political sense, but in the traditional sense of attending shul and making kiddush and being very sympathetic to religion. Those problems I think we can overcome, but what we've seen in the last week is an avalanche of hatred and loathing of Jew against Jew, both secular against religious and religious against religious. And I don't think this is going to go away so quickly.
No, I don't think it's going to go away so quickly. And as you know, I think the situation in Beit Shemesh just highlighted it and gave it the publicity. But I agree with you. I don't think it's really going to go away. I'm not sure when it's going to go away. But now when you really look at it and you say to yourself, is this what's going to happen as the Haredi world becomes more integrated into the Israeli society, which is obviously happening, more of them going to work, going into the army, where we have a change in society. So is this going to help the problem, or is this really going to accelerate the problem?
You know, my crystal ball stopped working about an hour ago, but if I had to guess, I think it's going to exacerbate the problem. I'm not sure if it's going to accelerate it. I think much of what we're seeing is a pushback against the fact that there are deep-seated changes going on in the Haredi world, and some of it is very good, and we people within the Haredi world are optimistic about it, but other people have a nostalgia for a system that produced some wonderful benefits for the Jewish people. I know some will disagree with me about that, but I do believe that the flourishing of learning since the beginning of the state was a very, very wonderful thing for the Jewish people that will be with us for generations. But a lot of people are reluctant to let go of the monolithic nature of that. And therefore, anything that looks like it may contribute to the old way unraveling is meeting resistance. Nonetheless, the changes are occurring. And I don't think that the changes are going to be lessened by this, because mostly it's economics that's pushing the changes. They're just the Haredi community, Bezras Hashem, should thrive and be well, but it's gotten so big that people recognize that there's so many people in the community who see themselves boxed in and don't have opportunities to make a living and don't have opportunities to give options for kids who, when they don't have options, are walking out in droves, that the changes in the Haredi world are going to continue. I don't take lightly a pronouncement by the posek Dorenu, Rav Yashiv, but Kvoda B'Mekoma Munach, I think even Rav Yashiv's opposition will not stem the outflow of people from the monolithic way that the Haredi community lived its lives in the past, and there are going to be more mechonim, there are going to be more people who are going to join the various programs in IDF. I think it's somewhat comparable to what happened here in the States decades ago, when Bernie Landers, Zichrono Livracha, translated his vision. And he's one of the few people who always translated a vision to reality. When he translated that vision into the reality of Touro College with all of his programs and decided that I am going to make sure that Haredim in the United States have Parnassa, he was met with huge, huge opposition. And it didn't work. He had a good idea, and economics essentially assured that he would be successful. The Haredi community in Israel is different. It's something that I don't understand, you don't understand, probably no American understands. So we can't talk fully about everything that's going on out there. But we do see, if our eyes are open, we see what's been happening in the last couple of years, and that people acting outside of the direct influence of some of the chief gedolim in the Haredi camp build their schools, and others come and knock on their doors and join. I do think that'll continue. My worst fear is probably not what you had in mind. Maybe it was is Kiruv. That the image of the Torah Jew continues to be tarnished in worse ways. Over the years, we've had to even change the way we speak to potential candidates for Kiruv. Things that we used to take for granted were true about the Torah world, we can't really say. We've been plagued by the reality that we're a large community, a thriving community, but we have our flaws and we have our problems, and we're not always the quickest to address them. Now, the fact that people used to point to all people who are religious as religious fanatics, as people like Christopher Hitchens and the like were wanted to do. And our reaction used to be, well, we're never going to act like the Taliban because we have halakha. We have a system of laws. Now, it doesn't matter what you kind of think attitudinally, but those attitudes, in the end, run up against the brick wall when it comes to halakha. And here we're seeing that halakha itself is not any guarantor of safeguarding whole communities from some of the most vile kind of despicable behavior.
So are you surprised that there has not been a greater outpouring on the part of the Haredi world condemning this and against this in Israel? Not talking about America, I'm talking about in Israel at this point.
No, I'm surprised and I'm shocked, and I just couldn't comprehend it at all until my good friend Avi Shafran had a good day. I did call him, as I told you yesterday I might, and asked him for some insight. And he did leave me with one idea, which gave me pause for thought. There's a fundamental divide between the way we as Americans look at statements and the way the leaders of the Haredi community in Israel look at statements. People have been arguing right and left, and I thought with a good deal of rectitude. They make statements about all kinds of things. Why haven't they come out and spoken more forcefully about this last week and for years in the past? And Rabbi Shafran pointed out, I think with a good deal of justice, that there are lots of statements. All of the statements, though, fall under a narrow a narrow definition of what the Gemara calls afrushe meisura, the statements made by manhigim, by leaders, to keep people away from doing things that they consider to be wrong. So there'll be statements telling you to avoid this kind of program or that kind of behavior or this kind of dress or that kind of bus line. But the statements are aimed at the in-group. They don't make statements as we make statements and feel we must make statements aimed at the rest of the world, what we call PR. We in America, in a melting pot, understand the importance of it. We understand that you are stained with the guilt of complicity unless you get up and say not in my name. And we tell ourselves that that's the Gemara. That's the Gemara in Gittin with Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. And he said, the rabbis are sitting at the table and they saw me the way I was treated and they said nothing. It must mean that they're agreeable to that. Well, the Gedolim and Eretz Yisrael buy into that, but only when the statement is aimed at other people within the in-group, not to Haaretz, and not to Haredim in America, and not to the general world. Now, personally, I don't want to say it's a mistake, but I think it's a mistake. The world today is too nuanced. You don't exist in the vacuum of Israel and have what people think of Haredim outside of Israel not affect you inside. There's going to be lots of pushback in coming months. There are people who are going to fight back, sometimes appropriately, but I'm afraid often inappropriately, and punish various organizations and institutions. Why didn't your Rosh Hashiva get up and say something? In some cases, it'll be accurate. In some cases, they'll scratch their heads. That was my job. But people are going to suffer from it.
Well, there's no question that people are looking for that today, as you say, because people would expect that in a situation like this, which is so horrendous, especially when you see it on the news and you watch this little girl so afraid to go to her own school just down the block. It touches the hearts of everybody, and people would expect the Gedolei Torah, the leaders of the Haredi world in particular, in Israel and in America, to speak out forcefully about this. And not speaking out is sending a message.
Right. So I'm not excusing it. I'm just describing a cultural difference. I'm on your side. I believe that even if they were never into this behavior in the past, that somebody somehow, if they could, should try to explain to them what's at stake here. I believe that people's lives are at stake, that unless you can calm things down, there is such hatred that's been brewing for years against Haredim that there have already been incidents of violence. And, I have this dream. Of course, it's not going to come true, but could you imagine what would happen if the Toldos Aharon Rebbe, who, by the way, did call in the people responsible for that horrific, horrific display of Auschwitz uniforms in Kikar Shabbat Matzai Shabbos. He did call in the ringleader and I believe threw him out or something close to it, and they're even talking about throwing the children out of the schools. Could you imagine what would happen if he would get in a car and drive to the school in Beit Shemesh of Orot and stop for 5 minutes and say, you are brothers and sisters, we have certain differences with you, but we apologize or we feel for what you went through and we stand in solidarity for you. In 5 minutes, 50% of the PR debacle would be cured.
And what would happen, though? Okay, I agree with you. 50% would be cured and it would go a long way. But then once he goes back home, what happens? What's stage two when the TV cameras go off?
Stage two is more complicated, and that's where we're all guilty, and we're all complicit. And I got to tell you, I'm doing my own soul searching. We engage in our own community in too much beetle of the other. It's nice to have opinions and to value ideology and to hold on to a Mesorah and to hold on to traditions and even to take strong positions on, I don't believe that that heter is correct or this chumrah is correct. But so much of it becomes personalized or directed at others to the point that we can't live together, we don't go to each other's institutions, we can't have joint events. I'm guilty of it myself. I'm certainly guilty of it myself. In Israel, it's gone to a different level. And you speak to anybody, they'll tell you, Americans, you just don't understand.
You're right, but because everything is a statement. The words, by going, you're making a statement. By not going, you're making a statement. By sitting on the dais, you're making a statement. By writing an article in a magazine, you're making a statement, not by what you're saying in the magazine article, but by being in there. So everything is a statement, and everybody, especially on the fringe elements of all sides, always use it as a way to prove their point. So, I mean, here what we're seeing is a situation which literally could divide the entire country of Israel, could really start to separate the achdus of Klal Yisrael, and it's certainly something that Sonei Yisrael relish and enjoy. And so, you know, I think unless we try to find some solutions to this and find some way where people could live and let live, and this has to come from leaders, because the leaders have the responsibility, I just think this thing is going to continue. And I could almost see, in a way, I'm not saying this would ever happen, but I could almost see in Israel, if they arrest a few people who do this, you could see ads in the paper trying to raise money to free them, and once again talking about the state of Israel and the animosity that you're seeing on some parts of the Haredi world towards the state of Israel, which I think has done a lot to help promote this Torah and the Torah learning, which now is incredible in Eretz Israel.
Right. I'm not sure that there is much achdus in the religious community to preserve. I'm trying to think if there was ever a time when the religious parties ever acted really in concert, even when they were in a government together, or whether there was really any terrific cooperation. There are areas of interface here and there, and they have to be encouraged. I don't have a way of changing the system over there, and I don't even try to think of it. That's sort of not my job. My job is responsibility to my own children and grandchildren and Talmidim, and to my own students. What do we tell them? And I think here we have to realize that Israel is the single most important Jewish community in the world. It's the center of Jewish life. It's no longer the United States. Whether you're in the Haredi community or whether you're in the modern Orthodox community, what happens in Israel finds its way over here. It does it because it's the strongest cultural influence on our lives, because our kids go over there and learn, because we go over and visit and we assimilate values. And one of the things that we don't want to pick up is this sense of us against them, which is so pervasive there. Israel is a bastion of, in a sea of hostility around them, and that maybe makes certain differences in the way people live their lives. But we're not there in America, and we have to make sure that we take the best of what there is in Israeli society, but understand the danger of the same kind of attitudes coming back to haunt us here. And that's where I think that we have to put our heads together and try to think, not just of blog pieces to write like people like me do, but real programs of making sure that people, as Rav Yisrael Salanter said, he had 13 midos that he urged people to work on one at a time. One of them was called kavod, and it goes, Hevi zohir b'chvodo shel kol adam. Be careful in the honor of every person, befrat, especially mi she'ein lecha tamim deyim imo, especially the person with whom you don't agree. That especially, that last phrase, is something that I'd love, maybe naively, to see if we could come up with ways of ensuring that the worst of what we're seeing there doesn't spill over to here.
I agree. Well, listen, you know, as I said, it's a situation that's unfolding. We're going to watch it carefully and see where it goes, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you again. And let's hope that we could find some possible solutions, not total, but at least to lower the rhetoric, the flame, the insinuations that we're seeing now. And as always, Rabbi Adlerstein, I really, really appreciate your coming on the program. I know our listeners. It really, really gets something really meaningful from your words, and I look forward to having you back again. So thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Be well. Bye bye.